Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we'll conclude a two-part conversation on leading in times of disruption. Andy, we kicked off this conversation last month as really the entire world had entered a season of incredible disruption. And even now, we're still seeing and feeling the effects.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we said on last month's podcast, it just highlights the dirty little secret of leadership that we talk about all the time. And that's that as leaders, we don't always know what to do. We don't always have the answers. And at times, we just make things up as we go along. And we are certainly making things up as we go along.
But as you said last month, these seasons also underscore the need for leadership.
Absolutely, because uncertainty and disruption are why the world needs leaders. And the more uncertainty, the more disruption, the greater the need for leadership. It's why, to those of you in our podcast audience, it's why the folks in your company, department, your division, your, you know, perhaps even your neighborhood, it's why they need you. Because, as we say, you know, our unique role as leaders is to take people on journeys to places they've never been before. And we have certainly never been here before. The challenge, of course, is those of us who are in leadership, we've never been here before either. But again, that's what makes leadership necessary. It's what makes all of us necessary.
Andy, you recently taught on leading through seasons of disruption, and you talked about three essentials that should guide us as leaders. We looked at the first one last month, and today we're going to dig into the last two. But before we do that, let's review for just a minute the first essential. You said during disruption, your voice is more important than your words.
Yeah, during disruption and uncertainty, people need to hear our voice, not simply read our words. And we said, you know, email and text are great for normal times, but during times of disruption and uncertainty, people actually need to hear our voices. And, you know, we're all tired of online meetings. We're all tired of Zoom calls, but they're essential. But not just because, you know, it allows us to get through our agenda. They're more important than ever because in those contexts, people can actually hear our voice. They can hear our tone. They can hear our concern. And again, it's reassuring. The challenge is some of us in leadership, we don't need that perhaps as much as some people do. And like everybody else, my tendency is to think, well, people like what I like and don't like what I don't like. They need what I need. They don't need what I don't need, which is 100% wrong, right? So just because I don't need a lot of reassuring, well, of course I don't. I have access to all the information, right? But in times of uncertainty, you know, our voices are more important than our words. So, you know, use your Zoom calls not just to cover agenda items, but to allow people to hear your concern, hear your voice, or to use the term we introduced last time, to shepherd as well as, you know, cover agenda items. And when there are only a handful of folks on the call, again, you know, go around, ask everybody how they're doing. Some of you in our audience may do that in every meeting. We don't always do that because we're around each other all the time. But during this season, you know, and just about every Zoom call I've been on with, you know, 10 or fewer people, we've just created an opportunity for people to catch up. You know, what's happened since your wife was furloughed? You know, how's your husband? Or we have friends and staff member who actually are sick with COVID-19. So again, pausing for people to hear our concern and hear our voice. And again, when it's possible, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Pick up the phone and call people. For those of you in leadership, you may be in organizations like ours where you don't have a personal relationship with everybody on your staff or even maybe your team. As awkward as it might be, pick up the phone and call, especially if this overall disruption has been specifically or particularly disrupting to a team member or maybe a member of their family.
Well, Andy, that brings us to the next essential when leading through a disruption. And that is, during disruption, your presence is more important than your presentation.
Yeah, you're right. Our presence is more important than our presentation. And this is really hard for me because I don't like to communicate unless I have a great presentation. I'm a very scripted person. I try to be so scripted that I appear unscripted. And the way I defend that is I watch golfers and tennis players. I don't play golf or play tennis. And they make it look so easy, and they make it look so easy because they've prepared so much. So as a communicator and as a content creator, I want to be so prepared, it looks like I'm just speaking off the cuff.
Right.
The negative to that is in times of disruption, there is not time to prepare. And the presentation, it's not near as important as my presence. So I have to resist this thing in me that says don't speak and don't show up until you're prepared.
Well, Andy, in normal times, being prepared is a win.
Yeah, it's not only a win, it shows respect for the people on our team. Mm. To show up unprepared is disrespectful. To show up prepared is a sign of respect. Yeah. But in times of disruption, again, preparation has to take a back seat to our presence. So showing up and showing up more than normal, even if we're unprepared, is counterintuitive as that is to those of us who are leaders, and especially those of us who love to prepare. That's the win. They need to hear our voice, not simply read our words. They need to experience our presence regardless of how prepared we feel like we are.
Mm. Landy, as you said, it does feel counterintuitive. So what is it about showing up that is so vital?
That is a good question. And I think everybody listening knows intuitively it's true. Mm-hmm. Why it's true, I'm just guessing, to be honest. I think it's an intangible. People in our organizations, they're smart. They know there's no answer. They know there's no solution. Mm. They have to know we're kind of making this up as we go along. But I think our presence says, hey, we're here for you. We're working on it. We're working on it for your sake. We're here. This is for your benefit. We have you in mind. Perhaps another hospital illustration will bring this into focus, not like last month's where I shared my most embarrassing hospital moment. This is more general, but it's certainly close to home, maybe too close to home for some of us right now. I think most of us have sat in a waiting room waiting for information from a doctor or a surgeon. Mm-hmm. And can you get too much information in that situation? Mm-hmm. No. Can they over-communicate? No. Can they show up too much? No. In fact, when a doctor or surgeon walks in, what do? We stand up, mm-hmm. right? We stand up and we lean in because we crave information. We crave reassurance. We crave their presence. And we don't even know these people, right? But right. They represent something to us in that moment. And we don't realize this as leaders. It's what we oftentimes represent to the people whose livelihoods depend on information and depend on us, you know, knowing what we're doing. And again, in a hospital waiting room, we could care less about the quality of the doctor's presentation, right? I mean, we don't roll our eyes if their grammar isn't perfect or right. if they mispronounce, you know, one of our names. We both have a dear friend who tested positive for COVID-19 and fought literally for his life for a couple of months, Stuart. And he just got out of the hospital two weeks ago. And honestly, we weren't sure. I mean, it just got worse and worse. Anyway, during that time, Sandra and I called Kelly, his wife at home, and because of the way things are, of course, you take your loved one to the hospital and then they send you home.
Right.
So, you know, they've not seen Stuart in almost 2 weeks by that point. It was just terrible. Anyway, she didn't have my phone number in her phone, so I call her and she answered immediately. And when she found out it was me, I could hear the disappointment in her voice. Why? Because she's waiting by the phone for that ICU nurse or that ICU doctor. And she even said, oh, Andy, I'm sorry. I thought you were the doctor. And then she starts apologizing. And I'm not offended. I get this. Why? She's waiting by the phone hoping to hear from the doctor. Now, again, our situations are somewhat different. But as I said, when people's jobs and salaries, hours, security are in jeopardy, you know, it's equally top of mind and it's certainly top of emotion. They just can't get too much information. We can't over-communicate, and we cannot show up too often. It's just the nature of leading through times of disruption and uncertainty.
Andy, that actually reminds me of the conversation you told me about that you had with Patrick Lencioni.
Yeah, just 2 months ago. Many of you hopefully listened to those two podcasts. They were fantastic. You need to go back and check them out if you missed them. But during that conversation, before we began the podcast about his new book, The Motive, I asked him, I said, what are you saying to leaders in this season? Because leaders from all over the country, marketplace leaders, you know, call him. And of course, his whole company, that's what they do. They coach leaders. Here's what he said. He said, I'm telling leaders to be human. Mm. I'm like, I need to write that down, right? I'm telling leaders to be human. And then I wrote this down. He said, and to check in often. And then this was great. He said, no one has ever left a company because the leader over-communicated or communicated too often. Mm. And he's exactly right. That's why, you know, our voice is more important than our words and our presence is more important than our presentation, especially during times of disruption. So if nothing else, we should all try to be more human.
Well, Andy, that brings us to the final essential, and that is in times of disruption, clarity is the next best thing to certainty.
Yep. People crave certainty. We all do. The problem is, as leaders, we cannot provide certainty. Now, we've heard lots of leaders promise to be able to provide certainty, but they're usually selling something or want something from us. But the truth is, and everybody in our podcast audience knows this, if you're a leader, you can't guarantee certainty, but you can be clear. Certainty is beyond your control because certainty is in the realm that you have no control over, namely the future, right? You can promise it, but you can't provide it. And if you promise it and don't provide it, you lose the third C, you know, which is credibility, you know, clarity, certainty, credibility. Again, we're in political season. We know this when politicians are running for office. I mean, their stump speeches are filled with certainty. You know, elect me and I promise. Unfortunately, you have to, you know, I think you sort of have to overpromise to get elected in our country, and that's unfortunate. But fortunately for our audience and for us, we're not running for anything. So we don't have to give in to that temptation. Besides, you just disappoint people. But while, and this is the point, while we can't provide certainty, we can always provide the next best thing, which is clarity. And in times of disruption, clarity will suffice. Early on in the outbreak of the coronavirus, one particular governor was a little late to the game as it relates to, you know, addressing his state. And when he was asked why he didn't address the people in his state earlier, he said he didn't want to create panic. But the thing is, and this is so important for those of us in leadership, information doesn't usually create panic. It's withholding information or the perception that we are withholding information that creates panic. Because when there's the perception that we're, you know, holding back, that we know something and we're not telling people, then people start trying to find their own information. They end up with misinformation, conflicting information. That's really what causes people to panic. Uncertainty causes panic, and clarity addresses uncertainty. And again, it doesn't remove it. You can't remove it, but it does address it. The point being this, it's really impossible to overstate the importance of regular, honest, transparent communication in times of disruption because, you know, people want to make informed decisions, and we owe it to the people whose livelihoods depend on our decisions to give them information so they can make informed decisions about their families, their finances, their livelihood. And they need information to do that. Not answers necessarily, not solutions, but they do need information. So again, in times of uncertainty, we can't provide certainty, but we can provide clarity, and it is more important than ever.
Andy, when you taught on this, you gave three specific insights on providing clarity. Do you remember those?
Yeah, I've got my notes right here. It was just three things. Be honest, don't pretend, and don't exaggerate. Be honest, don't pretend, don't exaggerate. Be hopeful, right, and reassuring. But dishonest or less than transparent people, they sense that. And this will come back to haunt us. Ultimately, it erodes the most important thing we have, especially during times of disruption. It erodes our credibility. But worse, it really ultimately sets people up to despair. Now, here's the thing, Lane, and we should probably develop a whole podcast around this. Some of us are just better than others at delivering not so good news, right? For the naturally optimistic leaders out there, this runs so counter to your wiring, but it is so important. And as I said, I think I said it earlier, in times of disruption, all of us have to step up and step outside of our comfort zone. We talked about that last month. But while being, I guess, honest and hopeful may seem kind of counterintuitive, how can I be both honest and hopeful, especially when the information's bad or the news is bad? It's possible. And when it seems like being honest is going to undermine hopeful, there's just something in some of us that want to pull back. But we must do both. I mean, we're responsible for, you know, here's the brutal facts, and then here's why you can maintain hope. Here's a great example of this. And most of you in our podcast audience are familiar with Jim Collins, and you've read his books. And in Good to Great, he records his interview with Admiral Jim Stockdale, ran for vice president in the 90s, a Navy vice admiral. But he's actually best known for being the highest ranking United States military officer to be imprisoned during the Vietnam War. He was in the Vietnam prison camp for 8 years, which is amazing. Anyway, in this interview, he reveals that he was tortured like over 20 times because he just wouldn't cooperate with the North Vietnamese propaganda machine. He actually disfigured his own face with a razor so they wouldn't put him on camera, okay? Anyway, during this interview in Good to Great, Jim asked him really what we would all want to ask him. He said, how did you survive? I mean, tortured 20 times, you're there for 8 years, you have no idea how this story is going to end. You don't even know what's happening in the war. And here's what he said. He said, this is a quote, he said, I never lost faith in the end of the story. I never lost faith in the end of the story. That's such a powerful statement. Then he goes on and says this, I never doubted, and here's this tension that we live with as leaders. I never doubted not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail in the end and turn this experience into the defining event of my life, which he said in retrospect, he wouldn't even trade. That's amazing. Wow. And then Jim Collins says, okay, who didn't make it out? And he said, that's easy. The optimist. He said, the optimists were the ones who said, hey, we're going to be out by Christmas. Christmas would come and Christmas would go. Then they'd say, we're going to be out by Easter, and Easter would come and Easter would go. And then they'd say, Thanksgiving, and then it would be Christmas again. And then Jim said, those people, the optimists, died of a broken heart. And then Jim said, he turned to him and he looked at him and he said, Jim, what I'm about to say next is very important. And then here's, you know, here's the payoff. He says, you must never, talking to all of us, you must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end. He says, what you can't afford to lose. You can't confuse faith that you will prevail in the end with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts about your current reality, whatever they might be. And this is sometimes referred to as the Stockdale paradox. And of course, the paradox is a seemingly self-contradictory statement that actually proves to be true. And the paradox here, and this is why I bring up this lengthy illustration, the paradox is never give up hope and never deceive yourself about current reality. Mm-hmm. So you never give up hope, and at the same time, you face what he refers to as the brutal facts. Mm-hmm. So there is a way for those of us in leadership, even through times of disruption and uncertainty, to communicate to our people, here's what's actually going on. I'm not going to withhold anything. You're not going to have to find this out from somebody else. Mm. You're not going to have to go around me to, you know, get the truth. Here is current reality. But at the same time, there is hope. We can get through this. Again, this is such an important lesson for all of us because part of our roles as leaders, or to go back to last month, as shepherds, is to do all we can to ensure our folks don't give up hope, right, mm-hmm. and that they don't despair, while at the same time refusing. This is hard for those of us who are super optimistic. When I say us, I'm not including me or you, right? But for the optimist out there, it's difficult not to pull punches at that point, especially as it relates to the brutal facts of our situation. So to our podcast audience, and this isn't a criticism, but if you're kind of all sunshine and roses and you have a tendency to dance around the brutal facts because you don't want to hurt people's feelings, you don't want to set them up for despair, now is not the time for that. At the same time, if you tend to go the other direction and your tendency is to bury people under the facts and the stats and the forecast, you really leave them with no other option but despair. Mm. But if we will figure out how to stand in that messy middle, and if we're willing to, I don't know, rein in that part of our temperament and personality that tends to lean one way to the exclusion of the other, there's a way to offer both hope, or to offer, I should say, hope that is rooted in reality. And when we do that, gosh, we do our people such a great service. That's leading well because we have provided, to the point of this part of our podcast, we've provided clarity in the midst of uncertainty. We cannot promise certainty, but we can offer clarity. So be honest, don't pretend, tell it like it is, and then you point toward a preferred future. A realistic but preferred and possible future. You say things like this, and Elaine, you've heard me say this for years. I don't have all the answers right now, but we will figure this out together.
Right.
I don't have all the answers right now. We will figure this out together. Give people something to hope for, and when you can, give them something to work towards. In fact, this is where we are right now as an organization, right? We've said to our entire organization, I don't know when our doors will open again, but in the meantime, here are three things I want you to focus on. Again, you can't provide certainty, but you can provide clarity. And in times of disruption, I'm convinced clarity is enough. It is the next best thing to certainty. So be clear, even if you're not certain.
So Andy, in review, in times of disruption, your voice is more important than your words.
Yep.
Your presence is more important than your presentation. And clarity is the next best thing to certainty. So as we close, any final thoughts?
Yeah, just, you know, kind of reaching back to last month's podcast a little bit. As leaders, we tend to be fact people, progress people, strategy people, answer people. But in times of disruption, almost none of that matters. Mm. It's not what people need most. They need our humanity. They need to know that we know and that we care. In times of disruption, that, in some ways, that's kind of our job description. We won't do it the same, you know, we're not going to do it perfectly, as I've illustrated, but it's what we have to do. And it's kind of a, for such a time as this, you are the leader. At home, this is true at home and at work and the community, I think it's fair to say we're not going to always know what to do. We're not going to have all the answers. We can't predict, as we said, or control the future, all of which is okay. But what we can do is show up, speak up, Recognize that disruption is not the enemy. Disruption is actually our opportunity. And so for those of you in our podcast audience, I hope that you just don't miss this opportunity. It's an opportunity to hone your leadership skills, but more importantly, it's an opportunity for you to be for the people that you love and you do care about what they need from you right now during this time. Now more than ever, your voice is more important than your words, as Lane just reviewed, and our presence is more important than our presentation. And now more than ever, the world needs leaders, and your community and your company and your people need you.
Andy, thanks so much for today. And to all of our listeners, we want to say thank you for joining us and invite you to check out andystanley.com, where you can find the Leadership Application Guide to go with today's conversation. This application guide, found under the podcast tab, includes key takeaways from today's podcast, questions for reflection or discussion, resources discussed, and much more. So be sure to check out andystanley.com, and we look forward to having you join us next month on the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast.